Bonjour.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertilsson.
And this week, strikes, strikes, strikes. Is anyone actually working in France these days? We take a closer look at the very controversial reforms underway this spring.
And with sunny days on the horizon, a new ice cream flavor, très French, if you dare.
And Maud Descamps is here to explain to us a fresh French word of the week.
But first, this week we saw the beginning of something that has been called the European Consultations.
Yes, sounds interesting, pretentious name, but actually it's an idea of Emmanuel Macron. He wants to know the opinion of the European citizens on
Part of
Europe.
His election, his campaign promises.
Yeah, part of his campaign promises. And of course, in 1 year from now, we have the European elections at the end of May 2019. And before he starts his campaign, he would like to know what the Europeans want from Europe.
This sounds a little bit, I must just say, like what was going on before when he actually launched the En Marche movement, where we didn't have a program until even just a couple of months before the actual election. We don't see a European program from Emmanuel Macron.
No, not really. Yet, actually. The members of his party, La République En Marche, they started a European march last week, so they're walking through France and knocking on doorbells and trying to find out what people think about Europe. But at the same time, there are also debates being organized in France and everywhere. Well, at least that's the idea, where citizens can come and ask questions and debate about topics, say what they don't like, say what they do like. And the first one was launched this week in Épinal, that's in the east of the country, by Emmanuel Macron himself. And he stood all alone in the middle of a group of 300-400 people talking 2 hours and answering questions to give his vision for the future of Europe. He says it's also to democratize Europe, because a lot of people say, well, Europe is not democratic enough. So he wants to know what the Europeans think.
Will there be any people you think who are against Europe in these consultations?
I think there will be, but in general, you're right. I think most of the people who will come to such meetings are already some kind of, at least more than average, interested in European affairs and the European Union. And usually they are probably convinced about the use of the European Union. So it's to be seen whether there will be a lot of people who are against it or just coming there to exchange ideas. Because on the first meeting this week, it was basically, well, it was not a real speech, but it was all about Emmanuel Macron, of course. And the title of these meetings are Consultations Citoyennes, so the citizens' consultations. But, you know, if such a meeting is being led by the president, then I think a lot of citizens will not really express themselves. It's more Emmanuel Macron show.
Interesting though that where Épinal is a region, or in a region where Emmanuel Macron actually didn't do that well in the elections. The National Front Party did much better. So
yeah, and I think it's also an area that voted against the European Constitution in 2005. They're pretty negative, even though they're almost on the German border, not far away from Strasbourg. So that's where he started. The idea is that these meetings will also be held in every other European member state, except for, of course, the UK, because they're leaving, and Hungary.
Hungary, exactly. They didn't sign up to this to this plan.
They didn't. But anywhere else, so if you're living in the European Union, there will be a Macron meeting coming to you very soon. Although I started to contact the ministries of European affairs in a lot of European countries. I haven't finished it yet, but a lot of them didn't even know what I was talking about. So Macron presented this as if this was a huge
pan-European project.
Yes. Absolutely. The only one that replied positively was Estonia. They will organize in 2 weeks from now, they will organize meetings. But again, with ministers, So it's not a real citizens issue either. So all these debates, well, they will have to be organized within the next couple of months, because the idea is that in October, every European has spoken his mind. We'll see. And then Emmanuel Macron will have some kind of, well, summary of what has been said. And then
got some homework to do.
Homework to do.
To
and then
together that program.
Yeah, yeah. So saving the European Union is, it's an urgent matter. He said it again this week in the parliament in Strasbourg. And this week he was also in Berlin with Angela Merkel.
He's bringing his big plan, big European plan, I mean, that he was launched with. He held a big speech in Strasbourg in front of the European Parliament, and then launched this, the European consultations, and then took off to Germany to finalize, or we can say, the plans between France and Europe, how to move forward with the European project, because that is, of course, one of the big issues for the coming years. Macron has been quite, at least he has launched a couple of ideas since he became president. He has said that he wanted a European finance minister, for example. He also wanted to create some kind of European investment fund that could help European countries that are in trouble, financial trouble, before it goes too far. It's still not clear what Angela Merkel is actually going to do with these propositions, because she, of course, is in a quite difficult situation at home with a much weaker majority than she used to have. And it took her months even to put together her government. So it's not sure how far she can actually go.
Yeah, and the Germans in general are not very positive about Macron's plan. They like the fact that he's a pro-European, because he's really the most outspoken pro-European president that France has had since a long time.
And I think that Merkel herself is saying that she had to remind her own party that, you know, we are pro-European,
yeah,
but there are very strong conservative powers.
Especially in her own CDU party and its Bavarian sister party, the CSU. They say they oppose sharing the debt of other countries because they're afraid of they don't want to spoil the taxpayers' money. And that idea is also a little bit in the north of Europe and the Netherlands. The Netherlands formed a group with seven other European countries, more or less against Macron.
This is the whole thing that we saw when it was the big Greek debt crisis, actually. The northern countries against the more southern Mediterranean countries.
Yes, and of course Germany is in the middle of Europe, in the heart of Europe, but at the same time their mentality is very close to the Nordic countries, and they're very careful of spending public money. Whereas in France, spending public money is always seen as the solution, to anything, actually. So this is a big problem. And you saw this week in Strasbourg that Macron was already, he toned down a lot compared to his big speech at the Sorbonne University a couple of months ago, because he realizes that he needs the support, of course, of Germany, and that without Germany and even the other countries like the Netherlands or Sweden, it's going to be very tough to change Europe. So that's a huge task.
I have to move on a little bit quick, though, because I think it's in June they will have to have some kind of plan, because there's a European summit. And
yes, so that's in like 8 weeks from now. We'll see. We'll talk about it here, of course, on So French. Well, French politics was not only about Europe this week or the strikes. The National Assembly started to debate a new legislation on asylum and immigration. The different groups took the opportunity to present their own visions of the future of France. And the leader of the Conservatives, Les Républicains, Laurent Wauquiez, he became a leader only 2 months ago. He made a very sharp right turn. He laid out his vision. It was quite clearly France is being invaded by foreigners.
More or less,
which is, it's not, if you look at the numbers, it's not at all true. There are about 260,000 people, 250,000 foreigners who come to France legally every year. But the majority are students, foreign exchange students, and also people who join the families. So, and compared to other European countries, it's actually far less than the European average.
But according to, it is interesting to hear Vauquier's argument. He says that if it continues the same way, the immigration continues the same way as it has over the last year with 260,000 immigrants or 200,000, we'll at the end of the 5-year term for Macron, we will have 1 million immigrants. And that is the most horrible thing that he could ever imagine. But he's forgetting the fact that, you know, people are also leaving France, actually. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's only, if you look at the, if you take those out, it's actually only 65,000 surplus, which we know is not enough to sustain the French society.
No, absolutely. There are 67 million people living in France. So 65,000, it's not one even a hundredth. A thousandth, actually, so 1 promille of the population. So it's really, really very few, even though if you read the newspapers, watch television, you think immigration is all over.
Maybe that is what Laurent Wauquiez is doing. He's only looking at the certain media. But he launched a couple of ideas. He wants to make it impossible for anyone to obtain French citizenship if you have entered the country illegally. He also wants to launch some kind of referendum on immigration in France. And I think we have heard this idea from other politicians.
Most likely from the Front National.
Absolutely.
Marine Le Pen. Yeah, he's clearly leaning towards the Front National. Eh? That's
he's taking a very, very far, extremely right-wing turn with the party. It doesn't look like, though, he is at this moment gaining a lot of public support for what he's doing to the Conservative Party. We must say they were already in a big crisis when he took over the party. But as for now, he hasn't managed to turn around those numbers. I think the latest poll that we saw gave him about 8% of the vote. If it would be a first round of presidential elections this week, he would have had 8%.
Compared to the about 20% François Fillon got in the first round last year, who was then the candidate, and he ended third. So he's not doing well in the polls, Laurent Wauquiez. And even in his own party, a lot of people are now, they're getting a little bit nervous. There are no elections this year, but nevertheless, they're still within the Républicains, it's still a large group of people who are more, let's say, traditional right. So humanistic Christian Democrats, not necessarily anti-immigration, pro-European, and they are in the same party. So they feel that there is a problem.
There's a lot of focus on the immigration issue at the moment. We don't hear Laurent Wauquiez talking about many other
unemployment, environment, Brexit. No, it's mainly immigration, and of course a lot of criticism towards Emmanuel Macron that he's too weak, that he's not authoritarian enough when he looks at the strikes. But indeed, very little about the main concern of the French, and that's still the unemployment. So he's the leader of the largest opposition party, but when you look at the polls and at the reactions within his own party, he doesn't really look like a threat to Emmanuel Macron right now.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Now, this wave of strikes that we have been covering in this podcast over the last couple of episodes, it's ongoing, it's continuing. We talked about the railway workers who launched this 3-month pearl strike, as they call it. 2 days of striking, 3 days off, 2 days of striking. Ongoing then, as I said, for 3 months, 36 days of strike. Planned. And they're not the only ones, of course. We have Air France, who've been, I think they're on soon their 10th, almost 10 days of strike since February or something like that.
The garbage collectors.
Garbage collectors, people working in hospitals, and with elderly people, taking care of elderly. We have seen a large number of diverse areas not happy with the quick and fast moving reform plan of the Macron government. These strikes, of course, having an effect on transports and everyday life here, but also for the French economy.
Yeah, absolutely. The protests come at a heavy price tag. The French railways, they lost already more than 150 million euros. Air France, the president of Air France said that they lost 170 million euros. While the tourism sector claims that the strike will cost them 400 million euros because, of course, it's spring. There are a lot of holidays. People want to leave, go to the countryside, to the beaches.
And this year particularly, you have a lot of public holidays that are on like a Thursday. So people normally here, what they do is they take the Friday off and they leave for the weekend.
Yeah, but now they can't.
Now they can't. A lot of people have actually cancelled their plans or shortened their stays away. And so, of course, it's going to have a big impact on the French economy and especially on the tourism sector.
But the employees themselves, they are also losing money because the strikers, they don't get any salary, logically, when they strike. They receive only a small allowance from the trade union fund. And the trade unions don't have a lot of money because they don't have a lot of members. So they set up a crowdfunding campaign. And at the time we record this show, there was already over 800,000 euros collected online. So that's about $1 million. And this money will be given to the strikers. So there's some kind of public sympathy for the strikers, but it's not a huge movement. But nevertheless, it will be expensive for the unions as well.
And that is, I think, one of the issues where we see if this movement can actually continue, because at the end of the day, if it costs people too much money, well, they're more likely to actually go to work, even though they sympathize with the cause. But 36 days of striking is quite a hefty price to pay.
And some people get very irritated, especially people who really depend on the railways. And they went on strike, some of them as well. They gave the train workers a taste of their own medicine. The passengers of the Metz-Luxembourg railway line, that's a transnational line in the east of the country, they refused to show their tickets because they're protesting not only against the strikes, but also against the many technical incidents and the low frequency of the commuter trains. So they were very angry. And they asked others in the country to join their strike.
That's so they're protesting both against the protest, but also with the protesters?
Yes, you can say that, because they also protest against, the problems with the trains. And those problems are usually due to the lack of investment by the government.
So they
share an enemy, but they also are angry at each other. So they were on strike this week. And of course, the unions, they announced this week that they don't want to negotiate anymore with the Minister of Transport. She has been criticized because she's very technocrat, but she worked at the French railway company before. So she now has to reform her own policy, more or less. But nevertheless, the unions don't want to talk with her anymore. They don't now want to talk to
aiming higher.
Yeah, they're aiming higher, the prime minister. But the prime minister and also Emmanuel Macron, they said, well, we're going through with this. So I expect that the PM will say, no, you deal with the transport minister. And furthermore, there will be new strikes at Air France in May. The strikes are not related to the railways. The personnel of the airline company, they want a raise. So many strikes coming up.
Interesting will be also to see, we mentioned the impact on French tourism, but of course, one impact will also be the foreign tourists that might actually stay away from the country.
Yeah, they will maybe go to other countries, surrounding countries, maybe to Germany or to Spain. But it has an impact on tourism, absolutely.
As I mentioned, the railway workers are not the only ones protesting these days. A major student protest has actually grown over the last months. And this, of course, on the 50th anniversary of the May 68 protests. So exactly 50 years after those protests that actually changed the whole French society. And I think that is probably what's also fueling these protests at the French university. It started with an occupation of a handful of universities in March, and since then it's spread. Now there are protests in Paris, in Lyon, in Nanterre, in Grenoble, in Toulouse, Lille, and Nantes. I think there's a little bit, some universities stay occupied and then they reopen again, so it changes a little bit.
What's their problem? What's their issue?
They're actually protesting against this new system of selection to the French universities, because here in France, if you have the baccalaureate, the French high school exam, exactly diploma, you are allowed to enroll to any university course after high school. But this, of course, means that there are a big amount of students at the first year, and then almost 60% of students actually don't complete their degree.
Yeah.
Within 4 years. Yeah, a lot of them actually drop out after the first year.
I remember it when I was at the Sorbonne art history. We started with 500 students in the first year. Then at Christmas, there were 400. Then the next year, there were 200. And the next 100. And at the end, the last year, there were only 50 left. And of course, it costs a lot of money because the buildings have to be big enough
to adapt it to
receive 500 students. They have to be professors, etc., etc., and also the students, they lose a year, sometimes two, of their lives. But it's just because everybody goes to university in theory here in France, and it's almost free. It's 186 euros a year, and 40% of the students pay nothing because they receive a scholarship. So it's very easy. You just enroll, and
there's also some places where they actually do not have the most popular programs where they can't accept everyone. They have this lottery system the reform that the government wants to push through is actually a selection system, which more similar to what exists in many other countries, especially around Europe, but I would assume around the world. But of course, this is the university available for everyone is very, very much a very French thing, and important to many as the show of equality in the
and solidarity
system, and solidarity in the French system. And you have if you have completed your high school education, everyone has the right to go to university and can move forward to higher education. So it is a controversial reform. And of course, and these many students protesting against it. And some have, of course, the support from the teachers and professors.
Yeah, not all of them, though. At the faculty building of the Tolbiac, very close to where we're recording this episode, in the 13th arrondissement of Paris, the building has been occupied for a couple of weeks already. It's a big mess. There were already confrontations with the riot police. And the director of the faculty building, he's very angry at them. Let's have a listen.
C'est un vrai capharnaüm, la violence, la drogue, le sexe même.
Le sexe.
Bien sûr.
Yes, what do you think about that, Sarah? Sex at universities.
So what he said is, he's been hearing about horrible things ongoing at the university campus. Violence, drugs, and even sex.
Yes, even sex. I thought that was the main reason to go to university, but I can be wrong. But for the moment, the situation is in gridlock. A lot of buildings are still occupied, and of course, the exams, they start very, very shortly.
And this has been the threat, of course, by the government to say that, well, no, if we don't stop these occupations, there will be no exams, and that has put students against students, of course, because you have those who invested a lot of their time for them. These exams to go through is extremely important for, of course, their future studies.
So the protests at the universities is just one of the many social tensions now here in France on Emmanuel Macron's plate. And that brings us to the word of the week.
Hello, Maud Decan. French word of the day. What is it this week?
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sarah. The word of the week is more an expression we have been hearing a lot this past few weeks. It is the expression la convergence des luttes, or the convergence of struggles. As you may know, the rail workers have begun 3 months of rolling actions with a strike that hammered the national rail system. And now they are threatening that there will be a national action that will regroup actions from many different sectors like hospital workers, students, or even public servants. But the first convergence of struggles protest didn't actually gather a lot of people this week, only around 15,000 people in Paris, for instance. So the convergence of struggles is not happening at the moment in France. As we are celebrating this month the 50th anniversary of May 68 events, the convergence of struggles that France has seen coming together half a century ago is apparently not happening this year. Well, let's have a look at the history of the convergence des luttes in France. The very first one was in 1936 with the what we call the Popular Front, Le Front Populaire, which was an alliance of different left-wing movements. And then came May 68 with the convergence of workers and students from across the country, and then a bit later the feminist movement. But at that time, the expression convergence of struggles wasn't in the common language. People mainly talk about general strike. And the expression convergence of struggles actually came much later, in 1995, during the big national strikes here in France. And at that time, this expression was mainly used by the unions, but slowly the medias began to use it. And it is actually a few years ago, during the Nuit Debout movement, that we actually heard about the convergence of struggles in all mass medias in France.
Thank you very much, Maud. Maud Descamps with Word of the Week.
Now, it has been very warm in France this week. A lot of sun, very nice weather. And of course, if the weather is nice, it's nice to have an ice cream.
Absolutely.
Would you like a pork pâté ice cream, Sarah?
I'm a vegetarian, so I would say no, thank you.
But it's ice cream.
It's ice cream, apparently, and it's a new flavor. And this is a new flavor that was actually launched by a couple of milk farmers in Sarthe, which is a region just southwest of Paris. Well, they've launched this ice cream production with new exciting flavors a couple of months ago, and they came up with this pork pâté ice cream.
So this is made from pork pâté. Do people actually like it?
The farmers themselves say that it sounds disgusting, but it's actually quite nice. A surprising taste is how it's described. Soft and light, which is sort of everything except for what I would believe that pork pâté ice cream would be like, but that's how they describe it. And it's made of just pork pâté, milk, sugar, egg yolk, and then put in a glass bowl and served as an aperitif, apparently. Well, it's a very French way of serving ice cream, I assume.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you could have this delice probably at any time of the day.
Yeah. Can people buy it anywhere? Or do they have to go to the company or to the Sarthe to make the trip?
I'm actually not quite sure. I think that they do, probably. But it's an interesting story because this also shows a more sad background, because these milk producers, they say that they're having such a hard time actually making a living out of their milk production. So they realize that they have to diversify their production, and that's how they come up with this ice cream production. But you know, it's difficult times for the French milk producers at the moment.
Yeah, well, maybe it sounds disgusting, but I think I'm going to try it nevertheless. That wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. If you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in the TuneIn radio application, and to share the podcast with your friends. If you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Podcast or click the link on our website.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, online and on air on World Radio Paris. Au revoir.